You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Parson, Cicada, Angle, and Sussman with you. Two more hours to go. Back to baseball in a little bit, but the combine begins. A lot of talk about Leonard Fournette, what he's going to, how much he weighs, how fast he's going to run. You'll hear a lot about that from Corey Parson, the guys, over the next couple of days. But yesterday, Corey, the coaches took the stand. And I always find it funny because they don't say anything.
But this is good. We did learn some things yesterday, though.
Okay.
That could help us in 2017. And it's always good to kind of get the coaches, you know, in a non-game week situation. You feel what I'm saying? And get reviews on the roster. And that's a lot of what was going on yesterday. And then today, again, you'll have some more coaches approach the podium. You know what I mean? And I think we found out a couple things yesterday. Carolina definitely is a team that's going to be in play for one of the big running backs in the draft. And, you know, we found out some other things about Doug Martin is not performing up to snub in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a team that has money. So there are some things you can learn when the coaches take the podium in this more informal environment.
Yeah, and they said Cincinnati's going to be in the market for running back. You know, maybe they're moving on from Jeremy L.
Yeah.
Any other coaches impressed you here this week? Anything else?
I was impressed by Dan Quinn yesterday. Okay. I think he was he did a good job. You know what I'm saying? He came out. He took, you know, he answered the questions the best way that he could. You know what I mean? He admitted that it was heartbreaking and disappointing. He said his team would not be defeated, but they also would never be able to get over it. He said they'll be able to get over it, but they'll never be able to forget what happened. It's going to take some time to bounce back. I think that franchise is a hope. Dan Quinn, you know, he's going to have to pull that thing together and pull it off. Also heard Julio Jones may end up finally in the next couple of weeks that Julio Jones is going to undergo surgery on his toe. And then Kyle Shanahan, you know what I'm saying? He was obviously a guy that people wanted to see yesterday. And he, you know what? He did the professional, manly thing, you know what I'm saying?
Stand-up Dan guy. Quinn.
No, he didn't.
Just kidding.
No, he said, listen, I went back and I watched it, and I got, you know, he was like, you know, I can see why you guys would second guess, and I would second guess myself. You know
what I'm saying? He did say that.
He did say that. He said that he would say that he second guessed also. You know what I mean? The you know, he was like when you're out there and you're calling the plays and you're putting the game plan together, you're in one mind state. But when you come back and look at it, he can kind of see where, you know, it definitely is a reason why people would say, you know, that it was kind of
run the football.
Run the football, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting the contrast in that in the last 2 years and the loss to the Patriots. Like, you know, Kyle Shanahan says, I can see why people second guess us. And then, you know, Pete Carroll and Darrell Bevell were like just the opposite.
I think
it's called being stubborn.
I think they've won already. They've won before.
They've won already. That's a good
they've
point.
Won before. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
Shanahan, you know what I'm saying, had new head coach, you know what I mean? So yeah. I think that goes into it. But if I was Kyle Shanahan.
Which you're not.
Which I'm not. If I was Kyle Shanahan, I wouldn't answer no questions about it.
What would you have said?
I would have been like, that's San Francisco. I'm the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, you know what I'm saying?
We've pulled a Belichick. We've talked about San Francisco.
We've moved past that. Let's talk about San Francisco and what needs to be done here.
But, sir, you've literally were only hired because of what you did in Atlanta.
No, I have a lineage. I have a history. My father is Mike Shanahan.
Yeah.
He's one of the greatest offensive minds in NFL history.
Will you be bringing him in with you?
No. No, he would not be a part of. He would not be a part of the staff. So, I will. You know. So yeah, I'm. I think you know my resume speaks for itself.
Who will be your starting quarterback?
He's our biggest fan.
Mr. Cicada, excuse me.
He'll say, I hope Mike's my biggest fan.
Yeah, I hope Mike's my biggest fan. How can I? Any further other questions for Kyle Shanahan while I'm here?
Yes, of course.
Oh,
Bill Belichick didn't show up yesterday.
Why?
I think Bill Belichick talks today.
He was watching LeBron.
Yeah, he was courtside at the Celtics game, and LeBron almost like fell into him at one point.
I think Belichick is at the podium today, as a matter of fact. My starting quarterback is something that that we're going to have to look into. We'll be turning over. You know, we're going to either go through the draft or free agency.
So Blaine Gabbert will not be your starter next year.
We don't have a quarterback on the roster right now.
Well, so Blaine? Colin Kaepernick is gone.
Well, Colin Kaepernick said he was gone yesterday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about Blaine Gabbert?
We'll look at some tape. We'll talk to Blaine, but you know, I think it could be some other options out there.
But I think you did say you don't have any quarterbacks on your roster.
We don't have any quarterbacks on the roster.
Would you be willing to keep Blaine as a backup?
Yes, if we'll see how that plays out.
Yes.
So is that anything else for Kyle Shanahan? I'm still embarrassed.
Is it a priority for you to get a big possession receiver across from Torrey Smith?
We're going to need some help at the wide receiver position. Actually, also, this is a good wide receiver class coming up. This is one of the deepest draft classes except for the quarterback position. So we think there's some good talent out there. You know, also we'll look at free agency and, you know, I mean, maybe I can bring Julio Jones with me.
Nah, Mr. Shanahan.
With all due respect.
Yes,
Mr. Shanahan, does it really matter if you get a wide receiver if no one can throw him the ball?
That's going to be something that we're going to have to address right at the top. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We're scheduling meetings with these young men, Deshaun Kaiser and Deshaun Watson and Trubinsky and Pat Mahomes. So we'll definitely be in the quarterback market because I can't do it.
Now, Coach, you had said you definitely need to address the wide receiver position.
Yes, we have to address that. We have to address lots of positions.
Is there a single position that you don't need to address?
I don't think we need to address the running back position.
You like Carlos Hyde? Yeah,
Carlos Hyde is the guy that.
What about the depth behind him because he gets injured?
Well, the depth behind him, we have I can't think of the young man's name right now.
That's an issue.
Yeah. I haven't looked through my roster. what is the dude's
Sean
name?
Drawn.
Sean Drawn. Yeah, Sean Drawn. There you go right there. Thank you, Mrs. Sincotta. I don't have my roster printout along with me.
Your roster resource.
Yes, I don't have my roster resource.
So you haven't met a lot of the players yet?
No, I have not. Say. No. Yeah. I called them when I got in town, and they were, you know, they answered the phone, and they were laughing. and then they hung up. It's not a lot of respect going on for Kyle Shanahan right now.
Oh, well.
Okay. I'm sorry. You know what I mean?
So the thing that was really bothering me, when I get to the NFL, that actually takes place this weekend.
But honestly speaking, though, I wouldn't answer no questions about Atlanta. I wouldn't have.
Really?
I wouldn't have.
That's being a baby. That's being a baby.
You think so?
Yes.
Scott, you think he had to answer? If you're in that situation, do you answer questions about the Falcons?
I respect that he does answer questions about Atlanta. Yes.
Same thing, Tony. You would.
No, you're a head coach. You're in a position of leadership. You don't bow down as the reporter and let him dictate my press conference. I just stand there when he asks me and say, hey, I'm the coach of the San Francisco 49ers.
That's it.
But if you're a leader, do you not? Should show your guys, listen, I'm not going to back down from the obvious questions?
That's Dan Quinn's problem.
That's Dan Quinn. Go ask him.
Yeah. It's Dan Quinn's problem. You know what I mean?
What do you want me to do? You're going to ask me about when I coached the Kansas City Chiefs in 2013. That would be my next question I would ask the reporter.
but it's not.
I think there's a window on that. I'd be okay with him answering it until, like, mini camp or training camp started.
Well, I think
this is the first time.
This is it. Now it doesn't matter.
He's had availability.
From now, if they ask you about it today at the podium, we move past that.
Yeah.
To me, I think he had to say something yesterday, in my opinion.
Maybe an opening statement.
That's it.
Maybe an opening statement.
He doesn't need to say a single thing about the Super Bowl anymore, in my opinion.
That's it.
He did it. He did what, in my estimation, he did what he had to do. He spoke about it. He said, listen, I watched the tape back. I effed up. I got to be better. Let's move on to the 49ers. And that's it.
I still kind of feel as if you're marginalizing him when you do that.
Why?
Because he's the head coach of San Francisco now. So why are you going back to what happened in the beginning of the month?
I'm going back because that was where he was. I get what he is now.
You're on two different platforms there. Corey's looking at it from the coach's perspective. And I think when you look at it from the coach's perspective, that's fair. You're the media. You're on the other side. It's your job to ask those questions. So it depends.
See, if
on
I was
what
the media, I would have asked a better question that I would have really got him. Is that, you know, Kyle? You have decided you're going to call your own plays. You showed last year you had a hard time just calling offensive plays. How are you going to do both?
There you go.
And his answer would have been, you know, we had the best offense in the league last year.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So Tony can be on both sides, see, because he can ask that question and he can answer it with what you Want me to answer about Kansas City in 2013 next? Tony can be both the media and the coach.
I don't know.
I would tie it into the other question.
I think John Harbaugh yesterday spoke about how much he likes Kenneth Dixon.
He did say that, yes.
How much he likes Kenneth Dixon and how he was impressed with Kenneth Dixon. I think Dixon's going to get a real shot there.
Okay.
And I like him as an RB, too. Let me see where his early MFL
ADP is. Are you going to get access to that?
Huh? Yeah.
I don't think he's going to go as an RB, too. Do you think he's going to like, people love that guy. I don't know why.
I'm looking up right now where he's. I think it's been like 90 MFL 10 so far. So not a good, you know, not the best. You know, still got plenty.
Drafted like an RB3.
Oh, man. Greg, talk while I look at this.
No, you're into it. I think Kenneth Dixon will be an RB2, probably. Low end to me. People told he's right. People would be all in on this guy. They love him. Love him.
Like, I know Jake was one of the dudes that was talking about
all
him
in on
lot.
Him. Mm-hmm.
He was in on him big. So, right now, let me see. Ken Dixon. Look, Isaiah Crowell. I found Crowell, who was a player I'm in on this year. 79. Right now, he is 79. His current, out of how many leagues have been drafted?
So that's 84 the seventh
drafts. So, yeah, he is, right now, his ADP in 84 drafts is 69 overall. He's going right after Sterling Shepard.
And once we start hitting fantasy football hard, and the guys got like Jake Seeley talking about him all the time,
totally
up to the 40 range.
Yep. Yeah,
look at the guys that have ADPs higher than him: Latin Murray, who doesn't have a team; Isaiah Crowell, who I like; Derrick Henry is 56; Thomas Rawls is 51; C.J. Anderson is 41. People still doing that. You know what? I think he can get up to. I think he can get up to about where C.J. Anderson is at 41.
Really?
I think so.
I don't know. I'm interested to see the offense.
I think he'll be in that range.
You think he'll be in the range too?
Would you take him on? We're in March, but his role is set. Tevin Coleman's role is set. Which one you want?
I'm gonna take Kenneth Dixon.
I'm gonna take Dixon too because I feel like he's gonna be more. Job? More of the opportunity there.
Also, like, what do I know about Steve Sarkisian? Like, I know that
1,000-yard running backs.
Steve Sarkisian?
Yep, 1,000-yard running backs
in college.
In college, exactly.
Great.
Well, that shows you that his main objective is to run the football.
I hope somebody asked Steve Sarkisian about the Alabama game. His first time.
Let me see if they.
Kyle Shanahan had to deal with the Super Bowl. He needed to deal with the national championship game.
I don't think assistants have a media.
Not the combine. That's the first question I'm asking Steve Sarkisian. How did you blow Lane Kiffin's national championship?
He probably would be like, "Who are you? Get the hell away from me, Sussman."
I was just wrong. Don't do that.
Yeah, there you go. Greg's a gentleman.
Pulling
I just said
it. You know what I was going to say?
No, I don't. But I'm quite sure if you...
I know what you were referencing.
Well, I appreciate that, you know. I took it back as
something
gentleman.
That you could get 50 feet away.
I didn't know that.
Let's take a break before we get deeper. Is that cool with you, Corey?
Yeah. That's cool with me. I'm just looking to see who's coming to the podium today.
All right, take a break here. Come back. Like I said, there's something else that bothers me when it comes to the NFL. It takes place this weekend. It's just, like, extremely frustrating because it is so dumb. What is it? You have to come back for that. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here hanging out with you on a Thursday morning. We're inching toward Friday, Corey.
Slowly but surely.
We're inching.
I don't see the New England Patriots on this list right here.
Well, the World Series champs, they don't have to.
They were in the Super Bowl, not the World Series.
Yeah, that too.
Super Bowl champs. Interesting. Why don't I see New England on this list for media availability?
I don't know.
They go on the Donald Trump's podium.
maybe so. I really don't see them.
It's okay.
No, it's not okay. I want to hear what they got to say because they got some questions. You got Hugh Jackson today, Jack Del Rio, Ron Rivera, Chuck Pagano, the Chargers with Lynn and Les Snead and Rick Smith for the Texans, David Caldwell and the Jags, and John Lynch. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
Sean McVay, Adam Gase, the Chiefs, and Pete Carroll. Where the hell is New England at? It's interesting.
They don't got
to
show up.
Tony, do you know why New England's not? Is New England not?
Bill Belichick was at the Celtics game. He had plans.
Too busy.
Wow.
We don't got to friggin' be there.
Wow, that's interesting.
He doesn't sound like that.
No, I'm just saying. That's what the Boston fans are saying.
Jason Garrett was out there yesterday.
Yeah, he was pretty quiet. Not much saying.
His roster is pretty set. Just got to get rid of his quarterback.
So the thing that really bothers me is this weekend or early next week. I don't know exactly when that 72-hour period is. But this legal tampering nonsense in the NFL is the dumbest thing, as Tony Cincato would say, I have ever heard in my life. It is idiotic and it is stupid. Either you are a free agent or you're not. It's BS that I can call a free agent up and be like, yo, AP, how you doing? Greg Sussman, New York Giants. I can't talk contract with you, but I want to sign you. Well, sir, you can't talk contract. But theoretically, if I could, I could give you this amount of money. Wait. So if I talk theoreticals and hypotheticals, it's allowed, but I can't offer you a contract. Either you are a free agent that is looking for a job, and I am a team that is looking to improve my team, or you're not. Why is there a tampering period before the free agency begins 2 days later? Why does that make sense?
I really can't answer that. I don't know what the we got to get homeboy or somebody from the Players Association on, or somebody from the league.
Who's that
office.
Guy you used to know? Yeah, who's the guy you used to know?
Rob London.
We devil.
Yeah, Rob London. Yeah, he's the agent. And then we got
there's got to be a good reason.
It's got to be something. Yeah, exactly. Because it's got to be a reason behind it. Because like you said, there is a period where you can. You know, kind of free fall.
Legal tampering.
Yeah,
period.
And that's why Washington put the exclusive tag on Kirk Cousins, because you can't come, you can't talk to Kirk Cousins, you can't talk to his agent, you have to go straight to Washington.
Correct. That is correct.
But nobody else is kind of like, well, yeah, he's out there, whatever. I don't know why.
Last year, the NFL cut the legal tampering period from 3 days to 2 days because... I don't know why. They loosened restrictions on how teams and agents can negotiate during this period. Why? Why just don't start free agency 3 days earlier?
Yeah, what the hell, right?
I don't get it. Like, Scotty, if you go on a job interview, right, are you going to negotiate your terms? Or are you going to wait three days later to negotiate your terms?
No, you're going to negotiate. I mean, let's ask Florio.
Florio be putting his demands on a napkin at the ball and be like,
here's the other thing that bothers me about the legal tampering period. A free agent, we'll use Adrian Peterson as the example again, because technically he's not a free agent yet because they haven't officially declined his option, which will be Thursday. A free agent is not permitted to visit with a team other than his own. So he can't visit other teams. A player cannot be in contact with another team. But his agent can. The agent can be like, hey, New York, my guy's interested. Are you interested? If a player acts as his own agent, Russell Okung, for instance, if he wasn't technically a free agent right now, Russell Okung, sorry, bro, you're screwed. How is that fair?
It's not. I don't, like I said, it's something that we're going to look deeper into. I don't get it. It's a very tricky, funny situation. But you know tempering is going on all over the place. You feel what I'm saying?
Of course it is.
You don't think Kyle Shanahan and Kirk Cousins have talked? Come on. You can hammer these dudes on this every time. You know what I mean?
And I bet they didn't.
You don't think, you don't think Doug Peterson and Jamal Charles people have talked?
I'm with you. I mean, what do you think? They took out they had a burner phone, or he just used his iPhone?
No, they're doing it right now out in Indy. So you probably get the Eagles group. They'll probably they'll probably go out someplace, probably in like, you know, a hotel bar or something like that, and they'll probably sit down with his, with Jamal Charles's representation.
Yes.
And they'll write something on a napkin. And then you got to get rid of that napkin.
You got to hear that. You got to get rid of that. Not napkin. Just throw it away. You got to just like tear it.
Tear it up and throw
tear
it away.
Tear it out, little pieces, get, the whole deal. Yeah.
Because if you just like throw it on the, you know, if you leave it there, I'm going to come behind and put it in my pocket, and then I'm the source.
This guy doesn't care.
No, he doesn't. I looked at him for analysis.
Right, you're looking for a comment of some sort.
I don't think anybody knows this because, like, you do a search, an internet search for why NFL tampering, and like nothing comes up. It's just like, what is NFL tampering? I don't think anybody knows.
Well, I mean, I Googled it. There's tons of explanations on it, and it all kind of just says what
it
I read.
Explains
you.
It, but yeah. There, no, I don't think
no reason.
There's no supporting reason as to why. You can only understand if you're inside the game, or at least get an explanation if you're inside the game as an agent or something like that.
I talked to a former player yesterday, and I asked him about it. And I go, what the hell is this? And he goes, it's the dumbest thing in the NFL. Makes no sense.
I'd like to hear what an agent would say about it.
Now, the other thing that I wonder, we had the joint session speech a couple of nights ago, Tony, from a President Trump. And he addressed all of Congress and basically laid out his plans. Now, when Roger Goodell or Adam Silver, and they give their State of the Union speeches on their leagues, the NFL or the NBA, talking to a bunch of reporters, shouldn't they address their players?
I think they do that in that would be a private setting. I don't think they should do that in front of the media.
How come?
Like, when you, if you're Sam Walton, right, and you're going to address your employees.
Yes.
You're not going to do it in front of the media.
No,
you're going to do it in front of, you're going to show up at their work, and they're going to have a little town meeting.
Right.
And you're going to tell them how this is going to be the greatest Walmart in the history.
Right.
And I'm going to pay you $8.50 an hour, and you know what? You're going to like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. I guess that's a good point.
It's a good analogy.
But I just feel like I want to see the players all stand up and cheer and then sit down and go on.
Now, Lou Mayon would like to have his employees' meeting televised, but he's a different guy than most.
Certainly. I thought a State of the Union, like a real State of the Union with actual
players. The players don't even care. They're probably like, whatever. They're not like Roger. They don't have a high opinion of Roger Goodell. So they're like, I'm not going to that. You know what I mean? And Super Bowl weekend, too? Right. You think they're going to be in Miami Super Bowl weekend and get up to go see Roger Goodell talk?
No, the problem is there's going to be one or two smart players that are going to use this as an opportunity to get their brand out. And they're going to take on the commissioner. So the commissioner will never get in that situation.
Oh,
meanwhile, Jeremy Hill's falling asleep in the back.
No, but you're right. Jeremy Hill, you know, So, and then you got Doug Baldwin answering all, you know, asking all the questions. You know what I mean?
Doug Baldwin.
I'll never forget my senior year in high school. We had double sessions the first couple of weeks of football, right? And I always just sit in the back. And you know the plays, but you better know the plays by the time you're a senior. And I fell asleep in the back, and the coach threw an eraser at me and says, "This ain't math class. Wake up."
You can sleep in math class, but not in here.
Tony didn't sleep in math class, though. It's like he's all into all those advanced statistics. You could tell.
Even back in those days, Scotty?
It's like, do you feel like you have to be a math major to be a fantasy baseball analyst nowadays?
Yeah, it's changed. Scott, you could speak to this more than anyone. I really think the DFS industry made the fantasy analysts have to be better. You have to be better. I think back in the day, Scott, you could get away with a lot of narratives. I don't think you can do that anymore.
Yeah, there's so much advanced statistics. And you're seeing it come into vogue for football now, too. Although maybe lesser than other sports, but you're hearing so much about pro football focus. You know, I still believe, you know, there's something to be said, you know, for intangibles and stuff like that. But you have a very hard time getting away with without the advanced statistics. It's become the trend. It's become what everybody does. And when you read magazines and you read websites, some of these guys talk like, especially for baseball, like, you know, I get the advanced statistics. But then you look at some guys and like they talk like they're writing for NASA. You know, and it's like Sierra, and, you know, like all these kind of things. You know, I think as general, as fantasy analysts, we draw a line on where we want those advanced statistics to be and what is relevant, Whereas some guys are like, although they're not as like, you know, as widespread, you know, they'll just totally rely on the event.
Do you
statistics.
Think it moves the needle for the listener? Do you think it moves the needle for the reader?
I think if it's done in the right package, it can. It's like the way we do it on this show. We talk advanced statistics, but we joke around and stuff like that. You know, like you know, Cha-Cha will call up and say, look, it's going to bore me if you're just going to sit there and talk about FIP and, you know, things like that. You know, but if it's done in an entertaining fashion, you know, that's the thing. And all you guys can speak to this. You got to give out the information, but you got to package it, you know, in an entertaining kind of version. It seems to become more challenging with baseball, but it can certainly be done because we do it.
It's so funny you say this, Corey. That's a good question. That's the whole reason I got into this. Was I used to listen to Baseball HQ and Baseball Prospectus podcasts, and I thought they had great information. I couldn't listen to more than 30 minutes. It was the worst thing I ever listened to in my entire life. And I said, I could do this and I could make this fun. And that was my whole goal there after listening to those two very informative podcasts. They were just terrible to listen to.
Yeah, you're right. And you can't go long. It's like NFL draft stuff. When somebody's talking about a player, like I'm watching some of these tapes and I'm like, I got to turn this off. This is horrific. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't think it's gripping or catching people. You feel what I'm saying?
There are certain things I feel that way too. I love football, but I cannot sit down and watch a guy do a long jump and jump up in the air. I can't watch the combine.
I can. I don't have no problem with that. I just, you know, I'm because it's like I'm not. I don't know. I have no problem. I've always been a fan. I can watch it with no problem. But I can't listen to a podcast with advanced statistics, no.
But can you quote advanced statistics and make it entertaining? Of course you can.
I don't think so.
Tony does it.
Yeah, that's an exception to the rule.
I think Greg does it.
I don't think Greg uses many advanced statistics.
We were just doing the last hour, and like, you know, we were talking about undervalued and overvalued. He totally ripped through a guy's advanced statistics like within a 30-second shot.
I think
with high energy.
I think I'm sitting right here next to Greg.
Well, you don't remember that.
I'm sitting right here. It's not like Greg has not got his hands moving around and stuff. I know when Greg's energy is up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, we were talking about that. But we were talking about overrated and underrated, but the analysis was driven towards the player. You feel what I'm saying? When he started talking about the FIPs, I was on Twitter. Maybe
that's
it's me.
You hear about the 30-second. I think you just have a thing against advanced statistics. For whatever reason.
He admittedly does.
Yeah, he admittedly does.
He doesn't like them.
I don't think it moves the needle.
Do you think they're irrelevant?
He does.
I don't know if I'm going to go that far. Because I do think it's things that can be learned from some of these things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I think it has to be packaged better.
I think the way we package is pretty good.
Well, that's up to you. I mean, that's up to the listeners.
Subjective.
Yeah, exactly. It's up to the listeners to decide. And I appreciate, Scotty, of course, that you like the way we do it, which is a good thing. I think there's a place for him.
I'm not saying I don't. You know, I'm here with you. You feel what I mean?
Yeah. Well, but as you just said,
if I'm listening to a show and they're going down the FIP leaderboard, it's going to bore me. Yeah.
You're here with me, but you just said, as we were talking about it, you're just scrolling down Twitter, not listening.
No, I didn't say I wasn't listening.
You're
you know
just
what I'm saying?
Scrolling down Twitter.
But I'm like,
when we were talking about FIP, you were on Twitter.
Yeah, I was on Twitter, but I was listening. You feel what I'm saying? I don't even know where to get the FIP numbers from.
You just go to Fangraphs.
And look at Steamer.
And look at any player profile.
Speaking of, let's get into more. Should we just Fangraphs? Let's get into some more baseball stats. Let's do a team of the day next. The Miami Marlins coming your way here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Brings us to Miami.
Viva la Miami.
Viva la Miami Marlins are up next as we go a team a day here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. I want to begin with two players we talked about a lot. I want to know who you guys want more. Ladies and gentlemen, first one up today, Christian Yelich versus D. Gordon. Tony Cincata, who do you got?
Oh, this is a good one. Both these guys have some flaws. Both these guys have some attributes that we like. I am going to go with D. Gordon. Here's the one thing that I'm going to separate at D. Gordon. I know that I'm going to have a guy that's going to be at the top of the stolen base categories. I'll have a decent batting average. And when I look at Christian Yelich, I'm looking at he's going to hit 20-plus homers, get some decent RBIs, batting average, but never the top in any category. So D. Gordon, that and the second base eligibility drive him ahead of Christian Yelich for me.
Going D. Gordon. Scott Angle, who you got, D. Gordon or Christian Yelich?
I'm going to go Christian Yelich because I know Gordon's going to get me more steals, but I think Yelich will rebound and give me a better amount of steals. Not better than Gordon, but better than he did last year. You're talking about a guy who's described as baseball insiders as a future batting champ. The home run to fly ball rate was a career high, but I think it comes down a little bit. And he gives me everything I pretty much need across the board. More categorical service across the board. I'm going to go with Christian Yelich.
I like both players. You know what I'm saying? I'll get in on both. The reason why I'm going to go with Yelich is because obviously you want to get a discount on Gordon because he's not going to give you nothing as far as swinging the wood goes. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to hit two home runs. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know what I mean? So Yelich got a little bit more pop in his bat. He doesn't have the legs that Mr. Gordon does. You know what I mean? But I think Yelich is an ascending player. 15-15 guy, even in that big ballpark. 300 batting average. So give me my son, Christian Yelich. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Christian Yelich.
He's an outfielder, too.
He is an outfielder. D. Gordon, second baseman.
Yeah. Second base is deep this year.
It's true. D. Gordon in our mock draft went in the seventh round to Scott the King Angle. That's you, Scott.
Yes.
Well, Christian Yelich went just a couple picks before that. Christian Yelich went in the sixth, middle of the sixth. D. Gordon went top of this.
It's a roster construction, you know, when you get to that point in you know, early in drafts like that, you know what I'm saying? Scott, you got him at a nice discount on Gordon, though, in the mock draft in the seventh round, being that he's going in like that fifth range.
Sometimes the fourth.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Sometimes in 15-team leagues, the fourth. So, I think that's how you got to play it with Gordon. I think you got to, if you're going to get in on Gordon, you want to get a couple round discount.
Okay.
He's like, I look at drafting D. Gordon like drafting Greg Olsen. Feel what I'm saying? You know what he can give you. You know it's going to be good. It's a specific reason that you want him for. With Greg Olsen, you want him to fill that tight end spot. With D. Gordon, you want him to bring those stolen bases. But it's somebody that you never want to get at value. You want to be able to you know, if you get him, you want to be able to get him in a spot where you earn something as far as RPV goes. Relative player value from the Fantasy Black Book by Joe Pisapia.
Okay.
That's where RPV comes from.
Appreciate that.
There you go right there.
Scott, all offseason, really last two off seasons, it seems like anyway, the Marlins have been trying to replace A.J. Ramos. And we talk about closers all the time, and of course, the number one thing is reliability, is job
stuff.
Status. That's stuff, not stuff.
Mentality.
No, not that either.
What do you mean? Mentality.
No, the biggest thing with a closer is stability, is his ability to just have the job
all
year long.
Ability to be stable, stability.
That the mentality gives you the ability to be stable.
No, it doesn't.
All right.
Because the Marlins always replace, or they try to replace, A.J. Ramos over and over and over and over again.
Like they did with Steve Cishek before.
They're never comfortable with that.
No.
Given that the Marlins are never comfortable, are you comfortable drafting A.J. Ramos?
Depends on where it is. I'd rather wait till, like, you know, past the 15th round to do this. Because, like, look, the conversion numbers are there. He converted 40 or 43 save chances last year. But you look at the whip, and the guy is always, like, putting runners on base and having some command issues, and the Marlins, I don't think they feel totally comfortable with him. You know, that's why you heard talk about Kenley Jansen this offseason. I don't feel comfortable because I think the Marlins aren't comfortable with him.
Explain this to me, right?
Yes.
Maybe it's something that I'm missing this is a chance for the deep stats guys to break this down to me.
Break it down.
Now he has 40 saves, right? Right. 40 save guy, job to himself for the most part.
Right. Yeah.
Now he has command issues, right? He has velocity issues, but his K-9 is over 10.
The problem is why they're not comfortable with him, though. There are a lot of situations where you watch the Marlins and you look at the whip and you see it, that even though he's always going to put runners on base, it seems, and then he's going to put himself in a pickle and then blow somebody away and get out of it. He's skating a very thin line.
What advanced statistic is that?
I just got to look at his whip to know it.
A whip is 5x5, not an advanced statistic.
So are you trying to make point that advanced statistics are relevant in this one case?
No, what I'm trying to say is where I'm looking at the command is poor, the velocity is low.
Where are you getting the command and the velocity from?
I'm the command and the velocity.
From what stats? What are you getting that from?
I'm looking at the whip.
Right.
Telling me that tells me.
Where are you
getting
the velocity from, though? You don't.
I'm looking at his velocity
whip.
Right here. His fastball is 91 miles per hour.
Right.
Right. So, so the velocity.
Yeah.
Right. Is weak. The command is
91.
An issue.
91 isn't weak.
For a closer.
I would for major. Think there are guys that throw like 91, etc.
But okay, he's throwing 91, but his K to nine is over 10.
Right.
So, I'm trying to figure out, like, okay. He has 40 saves. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
He's projected probably to have 40 saves again.
Right.
If he can keep the job. But command is a problem. Velocity is the issue. But the K-9 is over 10. So what advanced stat is telling can push me in an either direction of whether I want this dude or I don't want this dude? Because if you look at the numbers.
The whip.
Well, the whip is not an advanced stat.
Why, we don't need an advanced stat in this particular case.
But the K-9 is over 10.
But like I said, when you watch Ramos, what rattles the Marlins
see, that's
is
what I'm saying.
You look at the whip.
Watching
right?
him.
You look at the whip. He puts guys on base, and then he gets himself out of the jam with the K. And they just feel from a pure baseball perspective, I believe, that this guy plays, you know, walks the tightrope too much.
Wait, Tony, what am I missing here?
Well, my first question is, who says that A.J. Ramos they want to replace?
Oh, that's like, Scott
I've
said
never
that.
Seen that. I've never seen that anywhere.
All I said was that they seemingly have always been trying to replace A.J. Ramos. Last year when they traded
Greg for... Greg and Scott said that.
When they traded for Fernando Rodney, there were rumors. This offseason, they were in the hunt for...
There were rumors, though, right?
Yeah.
But Fernando Rodney was there.
Yep.
Right, and who closed? A.J. Ramos.
Definitely. And then you had the rumor, and then more rumors again. This offseason, they wanted Kenley Jansen. They wanted Aroldis Chapman.
Well, that's one of the two best closes. Those are the two best closes in baseball. Every team should want them.
Sure. But
and they didn't sign any
no,
of them.
They did not.
Right? They didn't sign any.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no,
again, rumors.
Brian
Ziegler's been on 100 teams, and he's not been the closer. I don't believe that. I believe when... They first came in, it was him and Carter Capps, and he beat Carter Capps out in spring training.
Yep.
And that's the only time that I've seen him want to be replaced. Now, the one thing with the Marlins is they're a team that likes to trade people and get young players involved. So what they do is they'll take a closer, and they will trade him at the deadline for sure to try to get players in return for him. So I'm not concerned about losing A.J. Ramos in the first 3-4 months of the season as the closer. I'm worried about August 1st, the trading deadline, because this team doesn't want to spend any money. They're going to trade a guy that gets arbitration eligible, and they're going to cash it in for prospects. So I'm not concerned about him until August 1st.
But why is a dude with a 91-mile-per-hour fastball with terrible command has a kid 9 over 10?
You can strike out people and still not have the best command. You know, you can have a high whip.
In fact, most guys, I mean, Randy Johnson made a career of it.
Yeah.
Randy Johnson's fastball was in the high 90s, though.
But he walked a lot of guys.
I don't know.
You look at things besides the fastball, too. He's got other good pitches. He's got a good mix.
Well,
you know,
okay.
It's about changing things up, too.
Okay, so maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to figure out.
He's got a good arsenal.
I mean, Matt Modica being here today, you know what I'm saying? He's an advanced stat guy, you know what I mean? I'm just looking at these numbers don't add up.
You know, I've been around the Marlins, and I've spoken to some people connected to the Marlins, and there's a general feeling that they've never been 100% comfortable with him because he's walked the tightrope.
But when you talk to those people in the Marlins, do they talk to you about his FIP?
I don't. It depends on who you talk to at the Marlins. Like, some people embrace that kind of stuff in the front office. If you talk to maybe somebody who's on the coaching staff, they generally don't.
Right. I mean, are you trying to make a point? No,
that
I'm trying to figure it out.
Sounds to me like you're trying to make a point that, like, you know, the advanced statistic is irrelevant in this case.
I want to know where it comes into play in this case.
It doesn't. Okay. With the analysis, I think he is who he is. You know, he strikes out a lot of guys, but he also puts runners on base.
You know who makes? You know who I think in my mind is the guys that create controversies about teams being not in love with closers is the fantasy baseball community. I don't think it ever exists in Major League Baseball. Like, Kyle Barclay is a guy that's got amazing skills, so that's what everybody says. Oh, he's a guy that's going to be close because he strikes everybody out. And everybody jumps on that. And I think the fantasy baseball community, I think we believe that. But you can Google anything you want. There's nobody questioning A.J. Romas at the Major League level.
Well, I'll respond to that in 2 points. You know, I have spoken to people at the Marlins. Like, I've heard that. But you make a point about, you know, Barclay is like, people do that, yes, a lot in the fantasy baseball community because they want to be the one that predicts or drafts that next exciting guy. They want it to happen rather than it will happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here you go.
I mean, I do believe that I do believe, not just from, you know, trying to acquire Jansen and Chapman, that, you know, the Marlins are not fully comfortable with the guy. But at the same time, there are a lot of other situations, to Tony's point, where people just say, you know, and look, I could be doing that myself with Hector Neris. You know what I'm saying? I haven't spoken to anybody at the Phillies yet this season that tells me that Neris is going to be the guy. He looks so dominant. You know, I could be guilty of that as well. You know, we have this G-Mar Gomez, Hector Neris debate.
Yes, we do. We always do. My G-Mar Gomez, love him. All right, we'll come back. We're going to hear from Jamari Carroll, Toronto Raptors. Scotty got caught up with him on Monday night. We'll hear from Jamari Carroll next here on the Roto Experts. The opportunity on Monday, check out the Raptors and Knicks. And we heard from DeMar DeRozan earlier in the week, and Scott, you also got the chance to talk to DeMar Carroll.
Yeah, you know, got the chance to talk to DeMar Carroll and, you know, got to ask him about, you know, the situation with Kyle Lowry and, you know, who really has to step up here. And here is my interview with DeMar Carroll.
Big time. I guess I got to come out and, you know, be a little bit more aggressive. I think the whole team overall, we have to be aggressive because we understand that Kyle's going to be out, and that's a lot of points coming off the board for us. And we got to really do it first with our defense, though.
You feel like, you know, you be an established three-point guy, that's, you know, that's a facet where you can really step up and help the team with him out?
Oh, for sure. Three-point, you know, the game has changed. It's all about three-point line. And, you know, for myself, I just got to, you know, get the shots and I got to knock them down, you know, hand in the face or wide open. I just got to knock them down. So the biggest thing for me is just stay locked in and try to knock down my shots.
So you are a defensive guy. You know, how excited were you here to hear that guys like P.J. Tucker and Serge Ibaka were coming over to basically, you know, help you defensively?
Big time, man. Finally, I said, finally we got some help. So it's been good for us, and they've been really good for us. Just their presence, not only, you know, on the court, but off the court. So, overall, man, they've been great, not only for me, but for the whole team.
Now Corey Joseph gets a real chance to step up for you guys, and he's played really well lately. What are you expecting from Corey as your point guard?
Just opportunity, man. When you get an opportunity, you got to take advantage of it, and I feel like that's what he's been doing. So he's going to get even a bigger opportunity, and he got to take advantage of it. And if he could do that, man, the sky's the limit for the kid.
Tell us about the about the Carroll Family Foundation, what you guys help to do to fight liver disease.
Carroll Family Foundation is basically to bring awareness to pediatric liver disease. You know, me being an advocate of liver disease and having a liver disease myself, understand the importance of the liver. And, you know, our foundation, you know, is try to help kids, help families and parents, you know, who might not be fortunate enough to provide for their kids and teach them healthy eating styles and teach them, you know, how to live with having a liver disease. And, you know, that's the liver is not a very saturated market. So you hear about the kidney, the heart, but you never hear about the liver. And I'm just trying to do my job to let people know about the liver.
Last one for you, and I'm sure you've heard this before. How do you react when people say, "Hey, Damari, I have you on my fantasy basketball team. You help me defensively."
Oh, man, that fantasy. I hear so much about fantasy. I didn't know it was that big. Maybe this summer I look into it and see how big it is. I don't even know how it works. So I think that's something I might look into this summer.
Get into some DraftKings when your career is over?
Yeah, get into DraftKings, see how it works. You know, see why people go so crazy about it.
All right, so that's Damari Carroll. If you want more information about his charity, it's thecarrollfamilyfoundation.org. But to talk about the team, you know, they didn't play well at all last night against Washington, and they had a bad first half against the Knicks. And Carroll really, unfortunately, hasn't stepped up since Lowry's been out. You know, he didn't score last night. And, you know, we've seen the guy can contribute some offensively. He averaged over 9 points a game in February, and he can contribute in other categories. And, you know, obviously there's the defensive part of it. We're talking about him with Corey Joseph. Like, people have picked up Corey Joseph, but he just had one assist last night. Toronto as a team shot 36.7% from the field. Defensively, the last four games before last night, they were holding teams under 100 points, but they allowed 105 last night. I feel like they're still trying to find their way without Kyle Lowry. Yes, they beat the Knicks by 1 point, but, you know, if Kyle Lowry doesn't make that shot and they lose by one to the Knicks, or Carmelo Anthony makes that shot, maybe we're looking at a totally different narrative here.
I don't know what a totally different narrative, but I think you're right, Scotty, in that they are finding their way. And when you lose a guy like Kyle Lowry, who's such a major part of your team for an extended period of time, things are going to change, right? Like, things are obviously, they're going to have to in order for you to survive.
Yeah, and Carroll really hasn't stepped up offensively, but, you know, over time, you know, this team is, or very quickly, this team, you know, they want to continue to contend. You know, they're going to have to find other guys to pick it up. You know, watching Corey Joseph in that game in the Knicks, it was just like, how much of the assist number is really going to be? Because his job is to really, DeMar DeRozan's going to handle the ball, and if he gets double teamed, he's going to throw it back to Joseph until he gets open and not necessarily get the assist on the given play, because, you know, the guys are going to continually play catch with each other, it seems like.
Forget about the assist. They only had 11 as a team.
Yep.
Yeah. They only had two in the first half against the Knicks the other night, and the Knicks had four players with two assists. It's like that. You got guys like Lowry, and DeRozan playing together. You know, the ball doesn't move, and now with only one guy there, how is it really going to move? It was just like, it seemed like big clear out basketball when I was watching this team.
DeRozan's a problem. He's a fine player. He's a fine shooter. But once he gets the ball, there is no offense. It's basically him trying to create his own shot, and then he can't. This, the 24-second shot is down 5 seconds or less, and then he's passing the ball to somebody. It's terrible to watch.
Yep. The team's trying to establish a new offensive identity by acquiring P.J. Tucker, you know, and getting Ibaka and putting them together with Carroll, because they have an eye on the bigger picture, you know. Or, of course, when they acquired Lowry, they figured, okay, we can have these two offensive players, but now we're building a defensive presence, and we don't have enough toughness on defense. You know, guy like P.J. Tucker, who we'll hear from tomorrow, kind of adds that dimension. You know, when I was at the game the other night, that was the guy who was always on Carmelo Anthony.
P.J. Tucker.
Yeah, that's Damari Carroll's role, though. Yeah, that's Damari Carroll's role. So they have a couple similar players now. Like, Damari Carroll is the guy that was the defensive stopper. Now you bring in P.J. Tucker, and it's not bad to have one. And, in fact, this dissension on the Raptors, right? Kyle Lowry was not a fan of these moves because they believe they've gone too defensive.
It's it's, again, we called it out when they made the trade for Serge Ibaka, Tony. Much like Orlando, we didn't like how they put their team together this offseason, and obviously it didn't work. And that's what Toronto's doing, going old school, becoming a defensive team, just getting all these wing players that can play very, very good defense, going big with the Serge Ibaka, again, big defense. They may not have enough scoring to compete with Cleveland and Boston in the East.
No, can you imagine if they were in the West and they had to play Golden State and Houston? They would. This is the Washington is a bad matchup for them. If they played Washington in a series, they would go down in five games.
I agree with that.
Well, you know, you could see that how much they were overmatched last night against Washington, and Washington played with so much energy. There was one great play last night. Like Ibaka was going to the hoop and thought he had a clear layup. Wall came out of nowhere and swatted the thing into the stands. It was amazing.
Yeah.
We will.
And this was a back-to-back game, Greg. Back-to-back.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And had to go to another country.
Yep.
And Washington only plays seven guys usually. So, I mean, this was set up for a perfect game for the Raptors.
Oh, totally. You're absolutely right. Let's get into the NBA. On the other side, to start off the 9 o'clock hour. Get into the 11 games from last night on a night where I didn't win money, so I'm pissed off. Let's get into all that. Next, here are the Roto Experts.